The Iron Game Chalk Talk Podcast is brought to you by the following sponsors: EliteForm.com, IgnitionAPG.com, PlayUSA at PLAEUSA.com, and Sorinex Exercise Equipment at Sorinex.com. And now, the Iron Game Chalk Talk Podcast. Welcome to Iron Game Chalk Talk with your host, Ron McKeefer.
Every time our athletes walk into this weight room, they're going to be pushed to the max.
Let's go! Let's go! Everything you got!
On this podcast, hear Coach McKeefer's straight talk about training, featuring the top strength and conditioning professionals from around the world. And now, here's your host, Ron McKeefer.
Hey guys, welcome back to Iron Game Chalk Talk, episode number 90. Iron Game Chalk Talk is a weekly podcast where I bring you experts in the field to talk shop. If you haven't already done so, please subscribe to us on iTunes or YouTube, or join the mailing list at ronmckeefery.com to stay up to date with the latest guests and anything else that we have going on. This week, super excited to have a good buddy of mine, Scott Swanson. Seems like Scott and I came into the profession together a long time ago. Been good friends ever since, and a guy that I've leaned on numerous times. But Scott's the director of strength and conditioning for the United States Military Academy and Army up at West Point. And, you know, we talk a little bit about the journey it took to get to that position. We talk about, obviously, the challenges that you face working at a military academy. We talk about how his programming is unique. And has to be able to get hundreds of athletes through and, you know, do it year-round when you're going out for training and deployments and all these types of things. We talk about, you know, providing nutrition in that environment where you have to meet weight standards and things like that. And, you know, and mainly is just his motivation behind what he does. I mean, what a phenomenal opportunity to deal with future leaders and impact men and women that are going to go on and contribute, and talks about, you know, give some stories about some former athletes that have gone off and come back and been wounded and continue to train in the facility and all those types of things. So it's definitely motivational, but there's a ton of great nuggets in there about time management and things along those lines. So you'll get a ton out of this episode, I promise you. Before we do, we want to make sure we recognize all of our sponsors: Ignition, APG, Sorinex, Elite Form, and of course, PlayUSA. Got back from the conference. You know, as you know, we're out there. Play helped host a social, which just is a, you know, they really truly get the motivations behind the strength coach. You know, and you know, they're more than a sports flooring company, but if you're in the market for sports flooring, definitely check them out. My opinion, by far, it's the best product out there. But, you know, but they really have a heart for the strength coach. Most of the people in the company had been strength coaches at some point. And so make sure you reach out to them for any of your flooring needs, turf, weight room flooring, et cetera. But also follow them on their social media, you know, at PlayUSA on Twitter, PlayUSA on Facebook, you know, but they're constantly putting out some good information as well, and just a great way to stay up to date with them and be able to reach out to them. But definitely, if you're in the market, check them out. Lastly, Strength Coach Basic Training is a online internship program, basically, or online coaching education program that I created. It's basically 8 lectures that I give our intern classes. And we've had a ton of coaches go on from our intern program and have phenomenal success. And, you know, this is a lot of ways it starts here, you know. And so we do a lot of good things. You watch the lectures, you have assignments, you have projects. We use a private Facebook group to be able to interact with one another. But, you know, the biggest challenges as a young strength coach is, A, you don't know anybody. Well, all of a sudden now you walk in and there's 150-plus members in the group that you're able to interact with, and there are varying levels of their profession at this point. So you get some interaction, and you also have some guidance as to what are the things that coaches are looking for. What do you need to be doing to put yourself in a position to learn about the profession, and then go out and be held accountable to doing with the projects and the assignments. So if you're interested, strengthcoachbasictraining.com, sign up. We'll put you in the private Facebook group, and we'll go from there. But want to get to Scott Swanson. Know you're going to get a ton out of the episode. Sit back. We'll see you on the other side. All right, guys. Welcome back. I'm real excited to have a good buddy of mine. Scott Swanson's the director of strength and conditioning up at the United States Military Academy, West Point, and just a been a good friend through the years. A guy, a resource, a guy that, you know, we've traded coaches, we've talked at conferences, and a guy that I've had an opportunity to learn from for a long time. So excited to have you on the show, brother. Appreciate you coming on, man.
Thanks, Coach Mack. Appreciate it, man. It's a lot of fun.
Hey, Scott, go into your journey, man. How you got into the profession and kind of, you know, the steps that you've taken to get to where you're currently at.
Well, my start in this career was kind of interesting because of injury when I was playing football at Wake Forest University. And through that injury, not being able to play, I started helping my first mentor, Joey Bullock, in the weight room at that point in time. And so I helped him for about 2 years, and I was hired as the first assistant at Wake Forest in the strength conditioning department. And I took over all the Olympic sports, basically, both basketballs, you know, soccers, field hockey, and then he could designate his time with football at that point. So that's how my career started. I spent about 3.5 years as a full-time coach at Wake Forest. Before coming to West Point back in 1995, my first tour here at the Military Academy, working with Tim Swanger at that point in time. And then I headed out west to Stanford University in 1997. Spent a year out there, was hired to help with the basketball programs while I was there. And then West Point called me in 1998 to come back here, direct this program. And I've been doing that ever since.
What year is this for you now?
This is my 18th season. Wow. With Army football.
That's crazy. That's a question in and of itself. Is how, you know, how you've been able to stay at one place for so long, and you know, not just from the standpoint of surviving different coaching changes and AD changes and things like that, but as strength coaches, sometimes, you know, especially as a young strength coach, the grass is always greener sometimes, right? You always look at all these big-time jobs and these big-time bowls and this, that, and the other. And so kind of how did you keep yourself, like, engaged in your role and happy and you're just kind of recognizing the fact that, you know, security, even at a young age, is something that is a luxury?
Well, you know, I'll tell you what, probably at a young age, I didn't recognize that.
Yeah.
You know, I, just like every other coach, you know, what are our aspirations? We all want to direct programs and kind of build our own niche in this world. But the way it kind of worked out for me was I spent a lot of time giving to the cadets here at West Point, learning from the cadets, working and building the relationships with the officers and the military folks here at West Point. And then, you know, with the athletic administration, from our athletic directors, you know, Colonel Al Vanderbush was my first athletic director, had Rick Greenspan, Kevin Anderson, who's down at University of Maryland now, and Boo Corrigan. Building those relationships so they understand what the big picture is for our strength and conditioning department. And not that it's, hey, it's not just about, you know, the one little thing now, today's win, setting a bench press mark. As much as wins are important to all of us, but developing the cadet athlete for a career bigger than athletics when it's all said and done with. And then working with and building that relationship with our athletic training staff was the other huge component. I probably have half of our athletic trainers. We have 14 athletic trainers here. Over half of them come and train with me every day. And what do? We share ideas. We share philosophies. How are they doing treatments with athletes down there? How do we build and program here in the weight room? And by developing that relationship, I think it helps the student athlete, cadet athlete, better themselves, because when the athlete is injured and they come to the weight room, now we can foster and build those strength levels. The athletic training staff know what we're doing in here.
Right.
No surprises. We kind of have the same mold, although we specialize in different areas. It's all about performance and, you know, taking care of the student athlete.
Oh, what a great idea and unique in its own way, for sure. And I think that's, you know, as coaches, and having been in this for a long time, you've been in for a long time, you know, when you first get in, you don't think about families and wives and husbands and kids and all those things. And so being able to stay in a place, you know, is something that would be, that's huge, you know. And you know, buying and selling houses, how much, you know, money you lose on houses a lot of times and things like that. And so I would encourage all the young strength coaches listening to understand that, you know, we talk about it on the show all the time, make the big time where you're at, no matter where you're at, you know, make it the best job that you can possibly make it, you know, find opportunities to create new revenue streams and things like that to make it the best possibility, but then turn around and embrace it. And if you do a great job where you're at, other things will come your way. And I know you've been courted by other programs and, you know, but ultimately you evaluate and you say, this is where I want to be. And, so that's awesome, man. You know, at the military academy, you got lots of unique challenges. You know, not only do you have a ton of sports, but you know, you have, you know, you don't have them necessarily in the summers, and you know, you only have them for a set period of time in the day, and everybody trains at that time. You know, what are some of those unique challenges, and kind of how you address them?
Well, let's start with the cadet day here. I mean, basically, wake up here is right around 0600 every day for the cadets. They go to breakfast formation, eat breakfast by 7. They're in class from 7:30 till 1400, about 2 o'clock in the afternoon for most cadet athletes. At that point, from 3:30 in the afternoon till 6:30, that's their physical time. So whatever the cadet has scheduled, whether it be their NCAA sport, a club sport, intramurals, or it could be drill. There's a lot of different facets to the afternoon. That is all in the afternoon block for the cadets. Then again, they go to dinner, and then they have study tables in the evening, lights out, you know, by midnight here. So on that side of it, you know, they can get a decent night's sleep. Now, the academy sets them up that they have to work as a team and to get all their work done.
Yep.
So as a director of strength and conditioning here, you have to take in all those different components of the cadet's day.
Absolutely.
It's not just one or the other. I do know that they're going to get 3 square meals a day. Now, just like any other student athlete out there, food gets old. You know, in any college, it's always the same. But I do know that they're going to get balanced meals on that side. Now, how can we add to that? Most of our football players, our big athletes, they get a double portion at every meal, you know, which is really good. But that also means they're going to get double the fruits and vegetables.
That's right.
You know, and you know what? They have to eat those. You know, that's part of their nutrition process, and we want them to make sure that they're taking that into consideration, you know, and making the right decisions. So the summer schedule. We get into the summer. Every summer is a different block. So for our freshmen, or plebes here at the academy, they report our day, which is usually right around July 1 time frame. They go through 6 weeks of basic training to kind of build them up, indoctrinate them into the military lifestyle. With that in mind, we will see all those cadets have an opportunity to participate in some athletic endeavor, maybe 2 to 3 times a week, and they can choose whatever they want to do. So usually the football recruits are going to come up and do football. Basketball recruits can go to football, basketball. But then there are other cadets that, hey, you know what, I want to go try out for football. You're welcome to come up, you know.
Wow.
You know, run some drills, run some, you know, whatever is on the schedule for that day. Any cadet is open to come at any given time, which is an interesting component, because, you know, you get an athlete that, you know, maybe they only played a couple years of high school.
Right.
You know, hey, they're going to come and try out. And we have in the in some years you'll find some talent.
Sure.
And those tryout individuals that just come, you know, just see it out. So we go through their freshman, their plebe year. Going into their sophomore year, we go to Camp Buckner, which is 15 miles down the road. They do their summer training, military training out there. That's changed for us over the years. That used to be an 8-week block. And, you know, that was very challenging for, especially for our football players, because they would come out of that block right before camp would start and go into preseason camp.
Right.
Now the academy shifted that timeline where they do a month at the start of summer and then come the second, the last 6-7 weeks, and they do their summer school sessions at that point. So that's been a big change for us. It's been a big positive.
That's good.
You know, I've been excited to see that. And that's something that's kind of, it takes a while to change those types of schedules. Your junior and senior year, the summer training is a leadership detail. Now, that leadership detail can be at any other military post in the country. And they'll go there for a month. It could be here for a month. So each summer, you're going to have a detail at one, either here or away. Mm-hmm. And that they split that up. It's basically their leadership training details. And that's how we set up our summers for the cadets. We oversee roughly 1,100 student athletes here at West Point. We added 3 new teams this summer to our program, both men's lacrosse and men's and women's rugby.
Which brings the total to what?
We're right at about 1,100.
No, what's the total number of sports, though?
It's 23, 24 sports
overall.
But all of our teams are oversized because we don't have athletic scholarships.
Right.
Everybody here is on a government grant and aid. So our teams are a little bit larger.
Right.
Our men's basketball team will carry 27. Our women carry 24. And especially in the off-season program. And then we have full JV schedules. Our lacrosse team is larger than most. Hockey, football, you know, right down the line.
Right.
Team has a large number of student athletes.
Wow. So with 1,100 athletes and that 3 to 6 hour block, 3 to 6 o'clock block, I mean, obviously you have multiple weight rooms, but still, even still, you have a lot of athletes in the weight room at one time, you know, with limited number of staff. And, I don't know if the 5 strength coach rule kind of applies to you guys. You know, is there 5 strength coaches working with football, or is there, but there's another sport in the weight room as well. Kind of how does that accountability and that coverage work for 1,100 athletes?
Well, you know, ideally, we do have 5 strength coaches that are assigned with football. Now, we may have to pull a coach to help cover down with another team, and that does happen on occasion. But we try to limit that. We have 3 weight rooms that we work out of. Our primary facility, which houses our football program, both basketballs, ice hockey, both lacrosse teams, volleyball. Secondary weight room, we have sprint football, which is a whole nother football squad that we carry here, which is 172 pounds and under. Baseball, softball, soccer, train out of that. And then we've got a 3rd small facility that we utilize for track and field down the field house area. But it's all about scheduling. And the way we look at scheduling here is we have 3 1-hour blocks, the 3:30 to 4:30, 4:30 to 5:30, 5:30 to 6:30.
Right.
So depending on, you know, the number of athletes that we need to schedule in any given time frame, in our main weight room, we can basically cover about 120 athletes at once in this room where nobody has to wait on any equipment. And that's why the room's designed the way it is.
Right.
We've been in this room for 12 years now. And it's so we can handle those kind of numbers and keep the athletes' time. The cadets' time is very valuable. They don't have fluff in their schedules. So we want to make sure that we're maximizing their time when they're coming in to train. And by doing that, I could train, you know, 120 athletes at 3:30, you know, a 4:30 group, a 5:30 group. Well, all of a sudden, we've knocked out almost 400
right.
Athletes on that given day. And then when we come in the following day, we can really push another 200 to 300 athletes the following day, then we might go back to the 400 number. Ideally, I like to try and keep it about 90 athletes in the facility at one time. It gives us a little bit better coverage, but that's never going to happen.
Yeah,
with the schedules that we have.
Sure, sure. So, you know, when there's that many athletes, how are you breaking it up where, you know, you just wave your hand.
There you go.
Are you trying to do everything out of the rack? Is there a dumbbell area, a rack area, a core plyo area or something? How are you kind of setting it, breaking up the room?
We have 24 rack and platform stations. For the most part, we keep a group of athletes per rack and platform throughout the room. Then we have a separate dumbbell section and then a bunch of hammer strike machines in a third area of the room that we can take a different group of athletes over to if need be. We have a 65-yard by 5-yard wide turf area for any plyo work, med ball work, speed work that we want to do with any group. It might be part of their warm-up station where we'll have ladders, hurdles across the board. We'll bring the bands out, foam rollers. Mm-hmm. So nobody's in anybody else's way when they come in to train. So it really flows well as student-athletes come in. So if I can stagger groups, you know, even in a 45-minute window, hey, that first group might be finishing up in their rack work, finishing up their workout. The second group's on the turf doing their foam roll, their band work,
right,
their mobility work, you know, prior to. We get into their dynamic warm-up, and then, boom, now they can take their stations and their racks and platforms. Try to keep it about three per station when they're there, but we can go to four if we need to.
Sure, sure. So, you know, we talk about the uniqueness of the program, you know, of the university and things along those lines, but, you know, within strength and conditioning specifically, you know, once you get into the training session, you know, what makes your program unique versus maybe other programs that you've seen in terms of how you conduct your business?
I don't know if we're unique. You know, the bottom line is what we want to do is we want athletes to train hard.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it's about.
No doubt.
Be smart about it. I want technique first and foremost, you know, but you come in here to work, you know, put your hard hat on. Don't come in here thinking, hey, we're just going to, you know, we're just kind of going to the weight room.
Right.
Fortunately here, we've got athletes that want to work.
Sure.
Every day. I mean, they just want to get better. Whatever, you know, you ask them to do something and they're going to run through it. They'll run through a wall for you. You know, if that's what's going to make them better, they're going to do that. It's good and bad. You know, part of that is you have to kind of reel them in a little bit too, because they will, you know, the military psychological side of training is you have to be able to push through pain.
Right.
And that could be good and bad for the athlete. So, you know, if they do have soreness or pain, you have to quickly identify that and make sure that you're backing them down as they're moving forward, because they will try to push.
Right.
And then, you know, thus they can end up injuring themselves further, you know, if it's something that's on that side of it. So getting the athletes to be able to understand that side of their training is probably one of the biggest challenges because, hey, I just want to get better, coach.
Right.
That's what they're going. That's what they're here for, and whatever they have to do that. You know, they're all Type A personalities.
Right.
They're here to be leaders. They are going to lead soldiers in combat.
Well, that's the unique part. You know, that's another unique thing is that you're dealing with a little bit different population than the average university. You're getting people that are A, top of their classes academically. They're usually. They've been identified as leaders across the country already in various different ways, you know, and they're motivated. Now, they're still 18 to 21, 22-year-olds, you know,
right.
So you still deal with all the stuff, but you're dealing with a little bit different population. But it kind of takes me into my next question where, you know, as a strength coach in different places that I've been, I've had to be a lot of different roles, right? I've had to be the guy that goes and grabs guys, you know, for, you know, that aren't doing the right thing, and we'll grab them and bring them somewhere. You know, I'm the guy making sure you guys are getting the classes. I'm the guy, you know, a lot of different places. And that's kind of where the strength coach roles kind of evolve different places. You're not doing that at the military academy. You're not going and getting the guy to class. I mean, they're self-motivated to do that. You know, but in your own way, you had to develop, you know, by doing that in different places, I've developed great relationships with guys, you know, because, I mean, a lot of these people are coming from single-parent homes and, you know, all these types of things. You've had to develop your relationship with athletes in those three-hour blocks. You know, what are some of the things that you've done to kind of develop that strong strength coach-athlete bond, you know, in the weight room and out?
Well, just like you have done, you get to know them. You get to know about their family, their history, you know, everything about where they came from. And I'm in a very different role than what we call the tactical officer. So the officer that's in charge of them down on the military side. So we've got that component for the cadets here at West Point also. So, if they do miss class, and that does happen,
right?
You know, but guess what? You're in trouble when you do. You know, if you sleep, if your bed's not made correctly, you know,
right.
You might get, you know, just little things that they have to do right. And you have to do it right down below all the time. So, but from my standpoint, you know, getting to know them, talking to them, I'm going to spend 5 to 6 hours a week with that student athlete. You know, just like any other strength coach does
right.
Across the country. You know, and then, so you really get to learn who they are. And then when they finish, you are setting them up for their future success. So our football players that have, they finished their last Army-Navy game. And our big guys, now they have to cut weight to get ready to graduate. Because if they don't, you don't graduate.
Wow.
You know, if you don't meet the Army standards, you don't pass your PT test at that standard across the board, you're not getting your diploma.
Wow.
And so now we set them up for success on that side of the house. That being said, I email out, you know, that group, I email that workout out to over 500 former student athletes that have gone through our program every week. They get the same training program. You know, I get emails about that. So it hasn't been, hey, it's 4 years and I'll never help you again.
Right.
I built a relationship with you. You know, we had Mike Vitti. I don't know if you saw that story, but he basically walked 1 kilometer for every fallen soldier in the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. Played fullback for me. And I saw him down at the Army-Navy game. And, you know, here's a young man that overcame adversity. And, you know, he came to West Point, you know, graduated. Had a chance, you know, he kind of went to a couple NFL camps, go try, but he tore his ACL. And had a surgery, rehabbed it quickly, you know, kind of one of those heart-charging individuals. Goes and does his Army thing, he went overseas, you know, and now then he turns around and does that.
Wow.
You know, he started in, you know, the state of Washington, walked down south through California, across the southern U.S., and then back up and arrived at the Army-Navy game.
Wow.
And, you know, and there was a bunch of football players that joined him along the way, former athletes, to be part of that. Those are the guys that inspire me day in and day out. That's why I do what I do. And anything I can do to give back to them, I will definitely do.
No doubt. No doubt. That's great advice for every strength coach. Is it doesn't just stop once they graduate. You know, that's when it just gets started, really. You know, and that's why we do what we do, is developing relationships with athletes, having an impact on their life in some small way, and you get the unique opportunity to do it with guys that potentially might become our president at some point. You know, so it's a pretty neat deal, man.
Well, buddy, and you know, my former athletes, you know, guys that I've coached here because of my tenure here, you know, they're back here teaching now.
Yeah.
I've got guys that are majors up to lieutenant colonel time frame. You know, and they've got kids.
Yeah.
You know, they've got family members. And it's a great opportunity to interact with them on a whole different level.
No doubt. No doubt.
You know, and then you get guys that are, they come back here that have been injured. You know, former athletes. You know, Captain Tyson Quink. You know, he was injured. took an IED, lost both legs at the knee, was back here in a Warrior transition unit. He would come to the weight room and work out with me every day.
Wow.
When he was stationed here at the academy for about a year and a half. I would challenge him. I would, he's going to find a way. We're going to make him try to run. He's going to do a squat, deadlift. I wasn't going to give in to that.
Right.
He wouldn't want me to. Set some PRs on his upper body strength numbers. I was really excited about that. Then a guy, Captain Chris Nichols, took a big chunk of shrapnel to his knee, had 9 knee surgeries to save that leg.
Wow.
And they did. They saved it. And he comes in every day and works out with me. He's been here for about 4 years now. He was medically discharged, but he works over our preparatory school coaching the kids at the prep school now.
Wow.
But still comes and works out with me.
Well, what a neat deal. That's what I tell recruits on our recruiting visits that, what I see my role as is helping them become better husbands, fathers, and citizens. And you're right. I mean, when you attack your job that way and you develop these relationships with these athletes, there's no better person to be able to continue to challenge those guys the rest of their life in those different aspects of things that they're going to come across, as they grow into a man, fatherhood and, job opportunities, things like that, and so you're right. I mean, it's answering those phone calls and be like, stop pouting, be a man and go get this done, and there's only a few people in that person's life that can talk to him like that,
right.
And so it's a pretty neat deal. But, well, Matt, we end the show with some resources here, so give us the best piece of coaching advice you've ever received.
Never stop learning.
Absolutely.
Yeah, never stop trying to learn something new. Don't be afraid to go outside of your boundaries. And whatever your training program style is, learn about other things.
Mm-hmm.
Because you never know when it can help you, across the board. And from my standpoint here, being able to adapt to 24 different head coaches that we currently have, every football coach that we've had over the years, every athletic director, by continuing to try to learn and challenge myself to find new ways to train and push and motivate the student athlete,
right,
will never hurt you. I mean, you really want to make sure you continue to try to learn.
Yeah, it strengthens your resolve and what you believe, or it gives you a different way of looking at things, and exactly your point, being able to adapt. So I couldn't agree more. What about a favorite quote, maybe one you got up in the weight room or one that you live by?
My favorite quote, Francis Quarles, I see no virtue where I smell no sweat. and we're in here in the weight room. You're coming in here to get a job done. Like I said before, you put that hard hat on when you walk through the door, you come to work.
I love it. I love it. What about a book, maybe Inside of Strength and Conditioning and Out, and then a website and app recommendation?
Really the book side of it, I've read all of Jim Collins' books,
yep.
Good to Great series. Really enjoyed those, and kind of see how he transformed and looked at it differently through each book that he wrote. One that I'm currently reading right now, Primal Body, Primal Mind. With the paleo side and nutrition for student athletes, for individuals across the, I want to make sure that they're eating the right food,
right,
day out. And a fun book that I've had my staff read in the past was Inside the Magic Kingdom.
That's a new one.
And really, it gets into details. The everyday little details. It's an easy read book for folks. I really enjoyed it, and I have all my new staff sit down and read that book, just because it's all the little things that don't overlook them, because
yep.
Nobody else will.
Absolutely, absolutely. Is there any apps that you're using with your site or for your own productivity?
The apps on the app side of the house, really. What we've done is stuff with Uber just in tracking and videotaping some of our athletes across the board. My big challenge here is just the numbers. So until we can try to fund and do something a little bit differently to make it more functional across the board. But we'll do that to give our athletes instant feedback.
Absolutely.
You know, when, especially when we have those athletes that are struggling with the movement across the board. And then, you know, websites, you know, I jump on the Strength Performance Network on a regular basis. You know, I follow you almost daily and everything that you do. And I know you and I have been good friends for a long time. And, you know, being able to share and talk training.
No doubt.
And that's, to me, I would rather talk to a strength coach.
No doubt.
You know, I would talk to people that are doing what we do. And then on the bigger picture, those folks that don't do what we do. So talking to the folks in the medical field, the athletic training staff, physical therapists, branching out on that side of the house because we can learn from each other. And I think if we do, the more we do that, the stronger we become as a collective group.
Absolutely. And the more professional we become as a profession. So I totally agree with you, man. It's you know, like you said, we've been friends for a long time, man. There's nobody I respect more and truly appreciate their friendship and your role that you've had in my career and development and all those types of things, man. So thanks so much for coming on the show, and I appreciate you sharing with everybody.
Thanks for the time, Rod. We'll do it again. We'll follow up and do it another next year.
Absolutely. All right, buddy. See you, man.
All right. Have a great day.
Too.
That's it for this episode of Iron Game Chalk Talk. Thanks to this week's guest, as well as our sponsors, for bringing this episode to you for free. Make sure to check out ronmckeefrey.com, where you can join our mailing list, find the show notes, including all the links and resources mentioned, and information about Coach McKeefrey's other products. While you are there, please join Coach McKeefrey in the comments section thanking our guest for sharing. If you haven't subscribed to Iron Game Chalk Talk on YouTube or iTunes yet, make sure to do so. Comments, ratings, and reviews are always welcome. Coach McKeefrey can be found on Twitter at @rmckeefrey. On Facebook and YouTube at @ron.mckeefrey. That's it for this week. Be sure to check back next week for another great episode of Iron Game Chalk Talk.